With the ringing of the church bell, we welcome you to this hour of worship as it comes to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. On this Sunday, our hymns are 510, 672, 594, 563, 700, 543. Pastor Alan Baker's sermon is entitled Heaven's Bliss, and is taken from select readings. Our broadcast this morning is being sponsored by Bill and Barb Rankin and Ira. Anniversary. We wish them a belated happy anniversary, and we thank them for several many years of dedicated service to our church.
Good morning. So happy to be with all of you here this morning, especially after a whole extra hour of sleep. It is much needed, much welcomed, and so we thank God for that gift this morning. And of course, a happy All Saints Sunday to all of you this morning as we remember God's faithfulness and as we remember all of those who have gone before us into heaven. In our prayers this morning, we will be commemorating the faithful who have finished their race of faith and who are now rest from their labors. We give God thanks for the witness that they are to all of us. And let us follow in their example now, praising God and singing our first hymn together, number 510. Would you please stand as you're able? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept the record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. Since we are gathered to hear God's word, to call upon him in prayer and praise, and to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of this altar, Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Well, beloved in the Lord, Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you of all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. For you are my rock and my fortress. And for your name's sake, you lead me and guide me. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Be with you.
And also
with you. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you knit together your faithful people of all times and places into one holy communion, the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant us so to follow your blessed saints in all virtuous and godly living, that together with them we may come to the unspeakable joys you have prepared for those who love you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we get to hear from God's Word. Our first reading comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 7. Then I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun with the seal of the living God. And he called with a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm the earth and sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." And I heard the number of the sealed, 144,000. Sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." And one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these, clothed in white robes? And from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Thanks be to God. Our epistle reading comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. "For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city." This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Thanks be to God. Please stand.
Oh,
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 20th chapter. Glory be to you, O Lord. But those who are considered worthy to attain to that age and to the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, for they cannot die any more, because they are equal to angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. But that the dead are raised, even Moses showed in the passage about the burning bush, where he calls the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Now he is not God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We confess the Christian faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for our hymn of the day. may be seated. Well, dear friends in Christ, to think that there is a home in heaven that awaits you. For all the true children of God, there is an eternal home that is promised to you. To all the saints, that is, to you and to those who have gone before us, and to those who shall come after us, there is an eternal home awaiting us. Because those who die in the Lord don't simply cease to exist. Though their bodies remain and decay, nevertheless, we are told that they are alive forevermore. They have passed from life to life. They have merely just passed through death's veil, for God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. It's as Moses said, He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Though these all lived and died hundreds of years before Moses, it was yet a present reality in his day that God was still their God. It doesn't say that he was the God of Abraham. But again, it's clear he is their God. And what a clear indication then that the saints are still living. Wherever they are alive. Those who are called by God's name, Jesus says they are sons of the resurrection. They are anticipating the resurrection where we shall all inherit the new heavens and the new earth. And this morning, dear friends, I hope to put forward a description of what that eternal home will look like. And it is my prayer then that we would be stirred up in hope, knowing that no matter what challenges befall us, if we remain faithful unto death, heaven's bliss awaits us. Now, to be sure, trying to describe what the new heavens and new earth will be like, that is truly a monumental task. For when it comes to the joys of heaven, who could possibly understand it? In fact, we don't even have the capacity to enjoy it yet. Our bodies as they are today, it's not even strong enough to experience the joys that await us. We are yet frail and fleshly. And so great is the joy that awaits us that we must be given glorified bodies in the resurrection. New and perfected bodies before we can even begin to experience the surpassing joys of heaven. And so when it comes to trying to explain it to others, where can we begin? How can we possibly do that? For it's as Paul said, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and nor any heart has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. How little knowledge must I have of what I am about to speak of? But truly, if I should wait till I had a clear understanding, then I would never speak upon this blessed truth before us. How can we go about explaining the joys of heaven? Joy, just in general, it's something that you can't explain it to people. It's a feeling. It's an emotion. You can't study it. The only way you can truly understand joy is to feel it. And so forgive me this morning when my words fail to capture the joy. But in my own feeble way, let me give you just a few descriptions of what heaven will be like. Well, one of the most common descriptions of man's eternal state is one of rest. The saint in heaven is said to be at rest. Now, their pilgrimage is over. The race is finished, and that long list of Christian duties is done away with. It's beautiful to think about all those things that we shall no longer have need to do. To think that to pray, it will be no more. While on earth, it seemed like we couldn't pray enough. Whether we actually prayed or not, we always felt the necessity to pray. The need to pray is constantly before us in this life. But in heaven, dear friends, imagine prayers will cease. Prayer will be done away with, for there won't be any necessity for it. Partly because we're just going to see God face to face. But secondly, because we shall have everything we could ever want or desire. Prayers will cease in heaven, for we shall have the full enjoyment of the very things we've been praying about. We won't need to pray for what we have, and we will have everything that we have ever desired. What a glorious picture of the saints at rest. We won't even have to pray to keep what we have, for there will be no fear of loss, no rust to destroy, no thieves to break in and steal. What we will have, beloved, will never be able to be taken away from us, for it is our inheritance. It is ours by birthright. We have been spiritually born of God. We are made co-heirs with Christ, and we are legally bound to possess things with Him. All things shall be ours in Christ Jesus, who is all and in all. Even God Himself will be our God. Now, what rest we shall experience in heaven. Again, there will be no need for fasting or weeping. No need to keep watch over ourselves. No need to pick up the full armor of God again. No need to fight or to stand. We will be retired from battle, and the days of our warfare will be over. There will be no need to fear that prowling lion, the devil, again. For he will never be able to threaten us. He'll be no longer able to reach us, as our lives will be forever hidden away in Christ. And he himself will be chained in the fiery pit forever. The works of darkness, they will be expelled from heaven. For we are told that the Lamb who sits upon the throne will dwell in our midst, and his light shall banish all the darkness out of every nook and out of every crevice of the holy city. Jerusalem, the golden, shall shine like the sun. Well, dear friends, somewhat related to this, I find it rather fun to think also that there will be no need for ministers. The saints will be at rest, and I will be out of a job. For no longer will you need to be instructed or exhorted. In the new creation, you will no longer need ministers telling you about God. There will be no more sermons, no more lectures about his nature or about his character or about his love. Preaching will cease because we will all know the Lord for ourselves already. We will each know him personally, each knowing him in a most intimate way, for we will be one with him. Preaching will become pointless, for we shall each see him with our very own eyes. We shall touch him with our hands, and we will hear him with our ears. Our whole body shall experience the Lord. Our souls, they will be married to our beloved. We shall have no need for ministers telling us about God, for we will know him. And we shall experience him and enjoy him for ourselves. What a picture of the world to come. No more need for instruction because knowledge will be made perfect. No more sacraments, no more means of grace, for God himself will be our everything. Means will be put away with to make room for the perfect. Means and signs will cease, for we shall be so united to him as members of his very body. And once more, beloved, there will be no need for ministers, for no longer will you be needed to be exhorted. We will no longer need to hear the command, for example, to rejoice in the Lord always. But rejoicing, that will be our second nature. In fact, I could go on to say that would be our only nature, joy. It shall characterize the very essence of our being. There shall be no such thing as grief or sorrow. Tears will be wiped away and pains will be but a distant memory. When God brings us to rest, there will be no more aching bodies, no feeble joints, no decaying with age. There will be no want of energy, for the joy of the Lord will be our strength. There will be no sickness, no fears or consuming cares. Nothing that we call evil shall have a foothold in our lives. And though tears may accompany us to heaven's gates, upon passing through, though, we will bid them farewell forever. Though we wept and cried on earth, then will our sorrows be turned to laughter. And that joy, dear friends, no one can take it from you. In talking about what heaven will be like, the most glorious thing, though, we could say is how near God will be to you. Truly, it's God's presence that makes heaven, heaven. God and yourself shall be as near to each other as you can possibly imagine. With an increased intellect, you cannot imagine a more greater union than that you shall have with your God. Now, once did David say that I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. But David didn't see the position which the true saint has. You shall not be called a servant, but a friend. And not a friend, but a brother, a child even. You'll be called a spouse, or you'll be called a member of his very body. It's what Jesus prayed for when he prayed that we shall be one with him, even as he and the Father are one. mystery of mysteries. Our minds can't conceive a more blessed, intimate union. Truly, then, we must say that far more has been gained from Christ than what was ever lost by Adam. And when we make it to heaven, dear friends, we will look at heaven's joys and just be bewildered, asking ourselves, has all of my mourning and fasting and prayers, all of my humblings and groanings and complainings, have they all come to this? The afflictions, troubles, sicknesses, and fears, they have all come to this. This is the end of it all. This is the glory of which the scriptures spoke of. This is what the ministers have preached to us these many years, though they described its glory not to the 1,000th of the degree. What infinite delight is in my soul. And when we look back upon our lives, what shame we will feel. Oh, what a wretch I was in this life. How unbelieving was my heart. How slow was my mind to believe it. What vile nature must I have had that could resist so much grace. Oh, how unworthy we will confess ourselves to be. Did I come to heaven's gates with joy? Did I really cling to the world below? Oh, what fallen flesh and fallen heart I had that was so reluctant to give up the world for this eternal life. Did I truly live a life of questioning and doubting and denying God's goodness? Did I really live doubting God's design in all things? How could I have called the sweet things bitter and the bitter things sweet? How could I suspect his ways? No thanks to my flesh do I deserve the crown I've received. But to the Lamb and to the Lord be the glory. And what a picture finally it is of the saints' humility. When we're told elsewhere in Revelation how we shall cast our crowns before his throne. The Lord so honors and glorifies the saints that he crowns them, we're told, in glory. But what a sight it will be when the saints are said to take those crowns off of their heads and to throw it back before him, saying, "Not to us, Lord, but to you be the glory. For we are here, we are enjoying the victory, all because of what Christ has done for us. No merit of my own I bring, but simply to the cross I cling. Praise be to God forever. Let the praises ring of blessing and honor and glory and power and might be to our God. And may he who won salvation for us receive that praise forever. May Jesus be worshipped and adored, for he has triumphed over death and the grave for us, giving his life on the cross to bring us there, to make us heirs of heaven, heirs of himself, forgiving us our sins and carrying us in the arms of his love. To God be the glory, dear friends, forever and ever. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, would you please stand and join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you that you are so full of truth and grace. You have great things in store for those who love you, for you have loved us with an everlasting love. You are a God full of compassion, longing to do wonderful things for your people. We humbly praise you that you have called us to be your own since before the foundation of the world. And we thank you that you have called us without any merit or worthiness in us. Give us the heart to believe and the heart to follow you all the days of our life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And gracious Father, as you have prepared heaven for us, strengthen us in hope as we continue to live in this fallen world. Give us patience and hope to remain steadfast to you. Lead us to forsake the world's joys and to look forward to the infinite joys that you have prepared in advance for us. Lead us to deny ourselves here, knowing that this is not our home. As long as we are away from you, our rest, give us the strength to continue fighting and working on. Let us be devoted to you and to live for you with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. Until we enter our rest, move us to be a people of service, a people of prayer and acts of love, and a people who love your word. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And great physician, we lift before your throne all who are hurting in mind, body, and spirit. Give them strength and healing so that they may fight the good fight with endurance. Give peace and comfort to those struggling with the pains of body. We pray especially for the family of Walter Wingate, brother-in-law of Mark Luchin. As Walter passed away this last week, Lord, we pray for your comfort upon the family. May your word go forth to give hope to these who are grieving. Surround them with family and friends who will uplift them during this time and be in their conversations so that they may all be edifying to them. Be also with Millie as she continues to recover. Be with both Lonnie and Ruby, friends of the congregation, as they suffer. Bring your good and sovereign will to bear upon our lives. And we thank you also, Lord, for the recovery of Lindsay, asking that you would continue to be with her and speak your truth to her. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And lastly, God of the living, we come before you now acknowledging you as the Lord of the saints. You are the author and giver of life, and you give your blessings and give yourself to share with your people. We thank you for giving life and immortality to your saints. We praise your holy name that in love you should desire to spend eternity with us, your people, and to be called our God. And we come before you this morning remembering then all of our brothers and sisters who have gone before us into glory. We thank you for each of them, for their witness, for their life, for their many prayers and influence, and for using them for your glory. And this morning, Lord, we remember with thanksgiving, especially those who have passed away this last year. May their witness and testimony strengthen us in our own faith. May we be comforted, knowing that they stand before your throne today, delivered from all harm and danger, and with every tear wiped from their eyes. Lord, we thank you first for Luis Harms. for Cora Lee Fuchs. For Martha Jane Vogelsmeyer. And lastly, for all our brothers and sisters in the faith from around the world, for little ones who have died prematurely, and for those whose deaths are known only to you. We thank you, Father, for the work that you have done through your servants. Lead us also to fight the good fight and finish our race set before us with endurance. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we ask of you, gracious Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. And taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated, and at this time we worship God with our offerings. Would you please stand? Our service continues with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns through all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he broke it, when he gave thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you, and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. May be seated for departing hymn 543.